The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into our second hour this Friday, May 17th, 2019. I don't know if I've been excited for this interview all week or all my life, but I am delighted to bring to the airwaves of Phoenix Professor Wilford McClay, colloquially known as Bill, but I'm going to call him Wilford for the purposes of this interview so you know what book to be looking for on Amazon or wherever you go to buy books. He has a brand new book out. I call it a textbook, except that almost makes it sound too dry. The Land of Hope, An Invitation to the Great American Story. It is a beautiful book. He is a beautiful mind. Professor McClay, thanks for doing the book, and thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm a longtime admirer, going back to your days with Bill Bennett on the radio.
Well, aren't you kind?
I used to get up the crack of dawn to listen to you guys when I lived in Tennessee. So.
You are kind.
I was devoted.
You are kind. Well, I have this book, beautiful book, Land of Hope. People ask me all the time, what books do you recommend to teach our children American history? This is it. You got it. It's out this week, Land of Hope. I have marked it up. Can I quote you some words of your own? For the human animal, I love this. For the human animal, meaning is not a luxury. It is a necessity. Without it, we perish. Historical consciousness is to civilized society what memory is to individual identity. I don't need to tell you, Professor McClay, that American history is our worst subject in high school. Graduating seniors basically get about 50%. We have a failing grade with our graduating seniors. People like you, heck, even Ronald Reagan in his farewell address have been warning against this for years. And now we do come to a point in our time, don't we, where we really struggle with an amnesia of our faith in our country.
And amnesia is the right word. I mean, it's a kind of wanton, except that amnesia is usually involuntary, and this is a wanton and entirely avoidable calamity that we've kind of brought on ourselves by failing to pass on the knowledge of our past. Some of it is from ideological distortion. But some of it's just sheer neglect, just sheer forgetfulness, sheer absorption in the present, in all the fascinating gizmos and the passing scene of today and today and today and today. And people lose a sense of their rootedness in a past that that still carries forward with them, even if they're not aware of it.
Well, that's right. That's a good point. It carries forward with them even if they're not aware of it. But it does make a common language and a common understanding and a common conversation about politics hard. It's hard, for example, I'm a conservative. It's hard for me to talk about the importance of the founding or even if we're talking in law about original intent if the audience has no clue what the founding was about, what I'm referring to, or thinks the founders were just racists and bigots, right?
Right, right. And to have that kind of view is simply to lack any kind of sense of how, well, for what the founding was responding to, the human history preceding it that made the kind of solution to the problem of concentrated power and of the fallenness of human nature and all the other things that the framers of the Constitution were taking into account, that makes all of that plausible, makes people aware of what it was they were responding to and the genius, the incredible genius of their response, which is still with us in the world's longest lived Constitution.
Yes, or what I like to call the second greatest story ever told.
Yes. Okay. I'll go with that.
No, but I say that, Professor McClay, in a sense, because too many just don't know it or of it. Now, it's easy, and I think we probably both agree that some of the textbooks that our students read, maybe some of the most popular ones, they happen to be pretty darn tendentious with a narrative that kind of skews, right? But a lot of them just make the story damned boring, and that's a crime too.
I agree completely. You know what I discovered as I was working on this? I you know, I wanted to look peek at what the competition was doing, and you know, there are some pretty good things out there, including Bill Bennett's books, which are really really wonderfully done, but they're too long for some kinds of uses.
Right.
And one of the kind of proximate goals I had for this was to have it be a useful text for high school students who are preparing to take the AP exam.
Perfect.
It definitely is a trade book too, a book that any general reader will be interested in.
Oh yeah, this is a coffee table book as well.
It's a beautiful book, and Encounter deserves the credit for that. My publisher, Encounter Books, they did a marvelous job.
Well, if you judge it by the cover, it's a beautiful book, but also if you judge it by its content. we do content and color here, Professor. Speaking of a little bit of American history.
Nothing wrong with that. I did look at the competition, and I have a giant pile of, you know, probably 25 different textbooks from recent times. And, you know, the overwhelming sense you get from them is not, I expected to find a lot more ideological. Bias.
Yeah, there's not as much as you think. It's some, but not as much.
It all starts around 1960, and then from 1960 forward, it's, you know, it's, some of them are worse than others, but they all are pretty bad. But up to that point, the real problem is that they're so poorly written.
Yeah.
And they don't have a narrative to them. They don't have meaning in the sense of that quotation that you read at the outset. They don't speak to people. They don't carry them in. They don't draw them in. They don't carry them along. They don't give them a sense that, first of all, not only is this my story, but it's an interesting story.
It's a darned interesting story, and they make it dull. They turned it into...
It is hard to know. I mean, one of the things I say in the introduction is that, you know, the hardest thing about this was to know what to leave out.
Sure.
Because, you know, the more you know about a subject, the more you feel every little detail has to be there. And, of course, you know, the reader's going to be completely overwhelmed if you put every relevant detail in it. So you have to be selective. You have to, the way I put it is you have to exercise triage and know who to throw out of the lifeboat in order to keep the lifeboat afloat. And that's a painful process. But
so damn important, you know, so darn important that you've done it the right way, because too many of the textbooks have thrown out too many of the good things. I mean, you know, we think about what kinds of stories in American history would engage a young mind. And, you know, the history textbooks I've seen, they just kind of gloss over and wipe away the great stories of, say, a Frederick Douglass. My gosh, what a fascinating figure that kids could sink their teeth into.
Washington stories.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I'll just by way of background, since the College Board is in the news now with their new way of rigging the SAT test, but what really got me thinking about doing this was that in 2014, the College Board, which does the advanced placement exams, all of them in every subject, they have a monopoly on the advanced placement certification. They came out with a revision of the framework for the U.S. history exam, and a number of us saw it and were alarmed. I first heard about it from some of my former students who were high school teachers, and it ended up we actually, a group of us, wrote a letter to the College Board, you know, pleading with them to abandon these revisions of the standards because they left out things like the Constitutional Convention.
Yeah.
The name of James Madison didn't occur in the framework. I mean, this is really serious crimes of omission. So,
do you think it's deliberate?
Credit, back off from a lot of that at that time. I think it's a technical thing. I don't think they really mean it, but they did. And the problem is that the textbooks, the three major textbook publishers, were all revised in light of the 2014 framework.
Sure.
And the AP exam, like it or not, is becoming a kind of, it's almost a backdoor version of a national curriculum.
Yeah.
Because more and more and more people take it. There are some municipalities and counties in which every student, every graduate student takes it. It's subsidized by other entities, including indirectly the Gates Foundation.
Right.
So, it's terribly important stuff. And so I got to thinking, maybe there's a need for another textbook.
Let me do this. I have to go into a break here, Professor. Yeah. Can I do another segment with you on the other side of the break, and we'll pick
up
on that? I would love to do that with you. We're talking to Wilfred McClay, Professor Wilfred M. McClay, in his brand new book. You can use it as a textbook. You can use it for yourself. It's a fascinating, wonderful history of America, Land of Hope, An Invitation to the Great American Story. It's a guy who likes America, by the way, if I didn't need to tell you, if you didn't pick up on that from the title. And it is just wonderful. I'm delighted, delighted to have McClay with us and this book in our library. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Delighted to have with us Professor Wilfred McClay and his brand new book, Land of Hope, An Invitation to the Great American Story. Can't say enough about it. Professor McClay, I'm going to ask you a few things about the book and how you decided to put in what you put in and take out, sift out what you had to sift out. But you do an interesting treatment of someone who a lot of textbooks give short shrift to, and I was wondering if you might say a word or two about President Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, okay, I'm a great admirer of Coolidge, and I think that he is underrated, has been ever since the sort of historians of the New Deal sort of took over the account of the 20th century and of the 20s, particularly the 1920s. Coolidge was, first of all, he was an incredibly witty man. I have some stories about that. There's a story about Coolidge was known for his taciturn qualities. He wasn't very voluble.
He would not have been a good radio host.
Yeah, that's right.
For example,
a lot of dead air there.
Yeah, a lot of dead air.
There was a story of a woman was seated next to him at a dinner party and told him that she had bet her friend that she could get at least three words of conversation out of him. To which he responded, without looking at her, "You lose."
Yeah, exactly.
And there are other stories like that, but he would just kind of, he doesn't get a lot of credit for this wit, but he also was a very profound thinker. He was well educated. And he gave some speeches that are just remarkable and that somehow have not filtered down into, I'm hoping that this book will make a little bit of a difference there. He gave a speech on the 150th anniversary of the American Revolution in 1926. And let me flip here I have a section of this in the book. Let me read this
please
to your
do.
Listeners.
Yeah, please.
And he's talking about the Declaration of Independence.
Give me what page number are you on? I'm going to read along.
It's page 292.
Yeah, okay.
And he says, about the Declaration, there is a finality that is exceedingly restful. It is often asserted the world has made a great deal of progress since 1776. How often do we hear that? That we have had new thoughts and new experiences, which has given us a great advance over the people of that day, that we may therefore very well discard their conclusions for something more modern. Again, how often do we hear this?
Mm-hmm.
But that reasoning cannot be applied to this great charter. If all men are created equal, that is final. If they are endowed with inalienable rights, that is final. If governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, that is final. No advance, no progress can be made beyond these propositions. If anyone wishes to deny their truth or their soundness, the only direction in which he can proceed historically is not forward, but backward, toward the time when there was no equality, no rights of the individual, no rule of the people. Those who wish to proceed in that direction cannot lay claim to progress. They are reactionary.
Yes.
Their ideas are not more modern, but more ancient than those of the Revolutionary Fathers.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that terrific?
It is beautiful.
How is it we've not heard about this speech before? So I that's one of my many small causes in this book, is to give Coolidge, and of course the economic boom that occurred in his presidency. It began under Harding and with Andrew Mellon's policies at the Treasury, but Coolidge, they spoke of Coolidge prosperity,
yep,
for good reason.
No, it's wonderful. I love that.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you decide what to take, what not to put in? As you said in our previous segment, you know, you could have written a several thousand page book, and blessedly you did not. This is just in under a little bit over 400 pages and easily readable. Let me put it this way. What hurt you the most to take out?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, there's a lot of things. I would have liked to have written more about the years since 1992. I really break off the kind of concentrated narrative after the end of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I do is a good way of organizing a history book. I think historians really trip up when they try to come too close to the present and end up trying to pretend that they have the kind of distance on the present that none of us can possibly have. And I think there's a number of recent books that fall into this trap, I think, and of being too present-minded. As if everything, the phenomenon of Donald Trump demands that we reinterpret everything going back to, Columbus.
Yeah.
I wanted not only to avoid that myself, but avoid it in my readers.
Good.
But, I know, look, there's a lot of interesting aspects of social history cultural history, stories about diplomacy. I think, one of the things that I think has really suffered in history instruction is a sense of the geopolitical dimension of the life of a nation. A lot of that I had to simplify a great deal. I didn't, military history is there, but it's, the Civil War is kind of compressed into a few pages.
But you do a great job with it, I want to tell you. That's an area I like to study a lot. I was an old Harry Jaffa student. I love that stuff.
Yes.
And you've done a great job with it. You really did.
Well, I've been influenced by reading Jaffa, particularly the Crisis of the House Divided.
And
understanding Lincoln. But, one of my friends, John Agresto.
Oh, I know John.
The former president of St. John's College.
Yeah.
Read it and he said, "You even make the French and Indian War interesting."
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible. But some of it, it has to do. You don't let too much detail clutter the picture.
That's right.
That's a tricky thing because you don't want to leave out details that are crucial, even though they may complicate the narrative. History is not a novel. I mean, and you don't want to pretend that it is, but it is a story, and it is, and it can be rendered as a story. So,
you do a great job of it, and
thank you.
You talk about the story, it reminds me of the biblical language Lincoln used describing about the apples of gold and the frames of silver. That's what you've done here for us, Professor McClay,
and
I want to thank you for it. I really want to thank you for it.
Let me say one other thing.
Sure.
If we have time.
I have time.
And another selective element is, I settled on the title Land of Hope very early on, and in some ways, a lot of people don't write the title until they get to the end.
Right.
I sort of write the title before I wrote anything else.
Sure.
And that's not quite true, but it's largely true. And it really was, I wanted to have the people who read this, particularly young people, recognize the extent to which that the nation that they live in and its whole history, going back indeed to Columbus, going back to the earliest exploration of the Western Hemisphere, is based on this idea that we are people who are not willing to settle for the conditions into which we're born, that we have this idea of freedom, of the ability to make a new beginning and to pursue our ambitions in a way that the old world with all of its virtues and vices, did not permit.
No, I love it. And the idea of hope is looking to the future. Yes. What a wonderful way to conceptualize a study of history. Professor McClay, I'm up against the break, but God bless you. Land of Hope is the book, folks. Bill, I hope you'll come back soon.
I will be delighted to do so whenever you want to have me.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.